This is Pastor Robert Sessler of Let There Be Light Ministries. I want to extend a heartfelt greetings to one and all, and to also thank you for listening, because we have a very important topic to discuss. You know, friends, many are dying in this world without knowing that there is a God in heaven who loves them dearly. That is why for the next few minutes, we will explore into this vitally important topic to see what God has to say to each one of us about His infinite love. But before we begin, I ask you to please bow your head with me for a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we endeavor to understand this important topic of Thy love for us, we pray, Lord, that You will please be in our midst, that You will please send Thy Holy Spirit to us to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And we pray that we might have our understanding enlightened, and our ability to comprehend increased, that we might indeed come to know Thee who Thou art, and to understand the great and infinite love that You have for each one of us, no matter how far we have delved into sin or are in the pit of despair. Help us, Lord, to look to Thee, and thus to rise out of this pit and out of sin in order to follow Thee. And now please help us to understand Thy great love for us, as is recorded in Thy Word. In Thy precious name we pray. Amen. You know, nature and revelation alike testify of God's love for you and me. And our Father in heaven is the source of all life, of wisdom, and of joy. Just look at the wonderful things of nature which He has created. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures, and in the beautiful words of the psalmist it says, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." And this was Psalms 145, verses 15 and 16. And God made man perfectly holy and happy in the beginning, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight or decay or shadow of the curse. It was transgression of God's law, the law of love, that brought about all the woe and death in this world. Yet even amid all the suffering that resulted from sin, God's love is clearly revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, as we're told in Genesis 3:17. And so the thorn and the thistle, or in other words, the difficulties and trials that make our life one of toil and care, were appointed for our good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for our uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has brought. The world, although fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. As we're told in 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love, and this precious message is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs. The delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all these testify of the tender fatherly care of our God to make you and me happy. The Word of God clearly reveals His character, and God Himself has declared His infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed to Him, "Show me Thy glory," the Lord answered and said, "I will make all my goodness to pass before thee." And the Lord did pass by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." This was recorded in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And as we're told in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, that God is slow to anger and is of great kindness, And in Micah 7, verse 18, because he delighteth in mercy. So God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, God has sought to reveal himself to us. But yet these imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinds the minds of men so that they look upon God with fear and think of him as being severe and unforgiving. And Satan leads men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute and character is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor that just waits to punish the individual that gets out of line. And so Satan has pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with a jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men so that he may visit judgments upon them. But it was to remove this dark shadow by revealing to the world the infinite true love of God for us that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest his Father. We're told in John 1 verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And in Matthew 11:27, we're told, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And you remember when one of the disciples of Christ made the request, show us the Father. Jesus answered, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? This was John 14, verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said very clearly in Luke 4:18, the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And this is exactly what Christ did. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. In fact, there were whole villages where there was not a single moan of sickness in any house because Christ had passed through them and healed all of their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of Christ's life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to all the children of men. He took man's nature that Christ might reach our wants. Even the poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him either. Even little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into his kind face that was filled with love. Now Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but love was always in his heart. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful kind attention in his interaction with the people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. Christ spoke the truth, even at times delivering scathing rebukes to hardened hearts, because he loved them too much to water the truth down or to remain silent. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity. But yet he wept over Jerusalem, the city which he loved, because they refused to receive him, the only way, truth, and life. They had rejected him, their Savior, but he still regarded them with pitying tenderness. Christ's life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others, and every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, yet he was bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men, Christ saw the fallen souls whom it was his mission to save and redeem. Friends, Jesus was but a revelation of the Father's love for you and me. He revealed the character of God in every word that he spoke and every action that he performed. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion as manifested in Christ flowed out to the children of men. Jesus, our tender, pitying Savior, was but God manifest in the flesh, as we're told in 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted His beloved Son, that was full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory down to a world that was marred and blighted by sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. God permitted Jesus to leave the bosom of His love, the adoration of all the angels, to come to this earth and suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. In Isaiah 53 verse 5 we're told, "The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Picture Christ in the wilderness, if you will. Picture Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Picture Him hanging upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon Himself our burden of sin. He, who had been one with God in the beginning, felt in His soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from His lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" It was this burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God, it was this that broke the heart of Jesus Christ. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make Him willing to save, for we're told in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So the Father shows His love for us by providing this great sacrifice of His Son to save you and me from eternal death. Christ was but the medium through which the Father could pour out His infinite love upon a fallen world. Clearly, as we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And friends, God did indeed suffer with His Son. In the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary, the heart of infinite love indeed paid the price of our redemption. Jesus told us in John 10:17, "Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life that I might take it again." In other words, Christ was saying that My Father has so loved you that He even loves Me more for giving My life to redeem you, and in becoming your substitute and surety by surrendering My life, by taking your liabilities and your transgressions, I am endeared to My Father, for by My sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Me. Friends, only the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only Jesus knew the height and depth of the love of God and thus could make it manifest to others. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. Truly, as we were told, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him not only to live among men, not only to bear their sins and die their sacrifice, but He gave Him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify Himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked Himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. That is why we're told in Hebrews 2:11 that Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren. Praise God, friends, because Jesus is our sacrifice, our advocate, our elder brother, and He will bear our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages He will be one with the race that He has redeemed, truly the Son of Man. And all of this was so that we might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, so that we might reflect to others the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price has been paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving His Son to die for us should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired and beloved Apostle John beheld the height and depth and the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence. And, failing to find suitable language in which he could express the greatness and tenderness of this love of God for you and me, he called upon the entire world to behold it. In 1 John 3:1 he tells us, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Friends, what a value this places upon you and me. It is through transgression that we have become the subjects of the devil, but it is through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ that we may become instead the sons of God. Christ, by assuming human nature, has elevated all humanity. So fallen men are placed where, by their connection directly with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the names sons and daughters of God. Such love is without a parallel, friends. To become children of the heavenly King, what a precious promise is held out to each one of us through Christ. What a theme for the most profound meditation. The matchless love of God for a world that did not love Him. The thought alone has a subduing power upon the soul and brings our mind into captivity to the will of God. And the more we study the divine character of Christ in the light of the cross, the more we see the mercy, the tenderness, the pitying forgiveness that is blended with equity and justice, the more clearly we discern the innumerable evidences of a love that is infinite, beyond computation, and also the tender pity that surpasses a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. Oh, friends, don't you just love Him for what God has already done for us? How He has manifested His great love for us through Jesus? You know, the Father has clearly revealed a love that is everlasting for you and me. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it tells us, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Shall we not allow our hearts to respond to this amazing love? By giving your heart to Jesus, you may escape from everlasting destruction that is our lot because of sin, as we're told in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. But it is through Jesus that you may obtain everlasting life. In John 4:14 we're told, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I," or Jesus, "shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Also in John chapter 6, verse 27, Christ tells us, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." So friends, please give your life to Jesus Christ out of the love that He has revealed to you by dying on Calvary's cross to save you from the penalty of sin, from everlasting destruction, and for revealing a Father in heaven that has such a tender, pitying, kind love for you and me. May we give Christ our hearts, and thus we can raise our voices in praise and adoration to the everlasting God and the everlasting King Jesus, and thus with everlasting joy we can enter in through the everlasting doors into the everlasting kingdom of heaven, to walk with our God and our Savior in the everlasting light of eternity. May we all choose to allow God's love to fill our hearts, and thus, in gratitude and adoration for all that He has done for us, to give Him our lives and to work to save the lost. This is my prayer for one and all. Please bow your head with me in closing. Our dear, gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you so very much for the great and infinite love that you have for us, even before we loved you, even before we knew that you existed. You were reaching out to us and wooing us through thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to give our hearts to thee. Help us, Lord, to dwell upon this matchless theme of thy great love for each and every one of us. Help us to fix our eyes upon the Savior, that by beholding him and what he has already done for us, our hearts might be broken, that we might be subdued, that we might choose to follow thee from a heartfelt obedience and love for what you have done for us already. Thank you for all that you are doing in reaching out to seek and to save the lost. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to allow your love to flow through us and thy truth to shine out from us to others, that they too can know and understand that there is a God who loves them and that they do not need to continue in the pit of despair and in hopelessness. Help them, Lord, to reach out to thee so that they will not die and never know the great love that you have manifested to them already. Please be with us now, and again, Lord, help us to be wholly thine. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. For those who would like more information on other topics of Bible truth, please visit our website at www.lightministries.com. And may God bless you all with His Spirit and His truth.